You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest for this full hour of a very special and really required listening edition of Secure Freedom Radio is Soren Kern. He's one of the most astute observers and chroniclers of what's happening in the face of jihadism. Across Europe these days, but also what all of these trends and dynamics and threats mean for us in the United States as well. Soren, thank you again. We're visiting about the problems in Europe at the moment. I'd like to just ask you to sort of give us a flavor, as you see it, based on a lot of study, of what's animating this kind of conduct. What would cause people who are getting safe haven in Western societies that are free and enormously generous to behave in these really barbaric fashions?
Yeah, it's very difficult to pin it down. I think that there are real problems with assimilation. This is really the crux of the matter, that many of these migrants are either not assimilatable or they refuse to assimilate to the host countries. And I think you can really track that back down to Sharia law and sort of the socio-political context in which many of these people grew up in their home countries. Now, I think that if you look at Sharia law, it is completely and totally against assimilation. I mean, the Sharia teaches that there should be no assimilation of Muslims to non-Muslim cultures. It teaches exactly the reverse. The whole idea of Sharia is essentially to bring the non-Muslim world into conformity with Muslim standards and Muslim ideals. And so I think that this really is part of what's driving this.
Now, what we're hearing too, though, and I just want to tease this out with you, to some extent we're told that that's because these Western societies are simply not accommodating. They're not inviting or enabling assimilation. And some would have us believe that these kinds of trends are not going to be a problem for the United States because we do invite and facilitate in the great melting pot tradition assimilation. Soren, is it the fault of Western societies that Muslims are not assimilating more in at least Europe?
Well, I think you can lay part of the blame on Western societies. Many of these European countries have invited these people in. And I think that in European countries, the concept of immigration is very different from what it is in the United States. European countries are not melting pots by any sense of the imagination. And what you have essentially in places like France is where you have large ghettos on the outskirts of Paris. You have an entire generation of young French Muslims who are completely disenfranchised from, you know, French society. If you have Muhammad or Ahmed as your name on a resume, it's very unlikely that you're ever going to be hired by a French company. So there's a lot of racism against these migrants that is built into European societies, and Europeans will deny it. They like to project themselves as the vanguard of multiculturalism, of tolerance. When you really look at the reality of the day-to-day, it is very difficult to be a migrant in a European country.
But yet you've spent a lot of time, I know, in Germany and monitoring what's happening there. As I understand it, Soren, one of the rationales for Angela Merkel to have essentially thrown open the doors of her country to unlimited migration from these Muslim nations of the Middle East, North Africa, Afghanistan, and elsewhere has been the need for an infusion of labor into their markets because the native population is declining dramatically. Is that at work in some countries in Europe and not others? And where it is at work, are they nonetheless still finding this problem of unassimilable, maybe Muslim Sharia supremacists?
Sure. I think it's different from country to country. I think particularly the demographic problem is very acute in Germany, and there has been a specific intent by the German government to bring in migrants to keep the social welfare system afloat. The German government recently, well, let's just say there was a leaked report by the German government which revealed that German authorities are counting on the inflow of 300,000 migrants a year for the next 20 years to keep the population stable. All of the European countries have similar problems, but this is really the first European country that I've seen where they're deliberately bringing in migrants who effectively are unassimilatable. And what I don't understand personally is that with so much unemployment in Italy and Greece and Spain, why German authorities don't make it easier for EU nationals to, you know, to come to Germany and to work, or bringing in people from a completely foreign culture, many people who are actually illiterate in their home countries, not to mention trying to learn a language as complicated as German. I think the German authorities have really not thought through the full consequences of their actions.
You know, you spoke about their preoccupation with keeping the population stable, but it really does seem as though they're overlooking the natty little problem that that population may be increasingly hostile to the government, the traditions, the freedoms, as well as the rest of the native population. So it does beg the question, what are they thinking, and why wouldn't they accept fellow Europeans who share many, if not all, of the same values and traditions? And all I can say, it comes back to something you touched on in the first segment, Soren, and I'd like to revisit it with you if I could. And that is this idea that it is now essentially impermissible to talk about these various problems, these phenomena, whether it's doctoring the statistics of what happened with these rapes, or whether it's talking more broadly about the nature of the agenda of so many of these people, namely their God-directed duty to impose Sharia.
Sure. I think that there is a complicity between the media and the governments, and particularly the case in Germany. All of the mainstream media outlets, whether television, newspaper, radio, are heavily subsidized by the German state. And that there's an expectation that these periodicals or these media outlets toe the government line. I think there's also this idea that there has been so much invested in multiculturalism. This idea really started after the end of the Second World War. The idea was essentially, in order to avoid a repeat of the Second World War, which is often blamed on nationalism, on German nationalism, on French nationalism. The idea with multiculturalism is bring in as many foreign people to make Germany less German and to make France less French. And so I think that there are a lot of people who have their whole careers invested in this idea of multicultural society. And for them now to admit that they've made a huge mistake, I think that is too much.
You know, one of the particularly stunning confirmations of what you were just saying, Soren, was Tony Blair, as Prime Minister of Britain, I think, actually acknowledged that the Labour Party in his country, of which he was the leader for many years, decided to punish the Conservatives by basically bringing in very large numbers of migrants who would not only vote for Labour, more likely than not, much as many of these folks vote for Democrats in this country, but who would be completely at odds with the Conservative Party and, for that matter, the traditions of Great Britain. And I wonder whether they have, in fact, actually owned up to the mistake in that country or in any of these others. We certainly don't see much evidence of it in what is being written, perhaps for some of the reasons you've mentioned, the collusion between those engaged in self-censorship. Soren, we have to pause for just a moment. When we come back, I want to talk more about various forms of jihad, some of which we've alluded to here, but to get a little bit more clear about what we are facing here in the United States as well. That and much more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.